everybody.
Yes, sir.
Extra golf show. No, it's not Saturday morning on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And of course, as we get ready for Masters Week, you better believe we will have full coverage this Saturday. But it's Masters Week. We couldn't sit here and sit on our hands. Got to get into it. As always, the golf show is brought to you by your local Ontario Subaru dealers. Welcome to Uncommon Performance in a Subaru with legendary symmetrical full-time all-wheel drive. Very happy to have the folks at Subaru on board this year. Now, McKee, it's Masters Week. The big cat is roaming around Augusta. He's probably almost certainly going to play. But before we do that,
yes,
you played golf. And honestly, that's, to me, more important than Tiger playing Augusta.
Yes, on Saturday morning after our maiden golf show of the season, I trekked up Yonge Street to Don Valley Golf Course and have to say was blown away by the shape it was in. Was expecting it to be much muddier. There was barely any spots on the course where it was too muddy. But I will say the first three holes took an hour. And it was to the point where you were pulling up to the tee box for the first three holes, and there was a group waiting, a group on the tee, and then arriving. And if you know me well, that's not my ideal scenario. No, and no golfer wants to play like that, but for me, that's one that's, it really gets me squirrely. So at Don Valley, at number three, you can see the group that's coming up the sixth hole, the par five.
Yep.
So I was interested. I was like, what? I mean,
What's happening?
It's busy.
It's like when you're driving on the highway and you're like, I just need to know what's causing this.
Anyways, I went up and I saw that there was a group of three people that was there was no other group on the par five.
Okay.
And there was no group on the par three.
That's a problem.
There was no marshals out. It's a very early year. And I said to myself, am I going to be the dick? And most of the time, Gunner, you know me, I was the dick.
Yes.
So I went over to them and I said, fellas, I'm not trying to be a dick here. I was trying to be a dick.
A little bit.
I'm like, there's three of you guys. You are two full holes behind at a public golf course on a Saturday morning.
Absurd.
You have to pick up the pace. And the guy immediately hits me with but we were waiting. I was, no.
No,
you're not waiting on anyone. They're on the eighth hole. You're just that far behind. They're like, okay, whatever, fine. And then there's two groups in the tee. I come back and they're like, what'd they say? And they were like, thanks for saying something. And not to toot my own horn, but after that, normal golf course, they sped up. and it was like, oh, what a concept. So I just got my future career after I do sports broadcasting of being a marshal at a golf course. It's my destiny.
You know what? No, well, that is true. I don't want to take anything away from your retirement plans.
Thank you.
I'm sure you'll be killing it as a marshal at Legacy Ridge. I know you
just
will
getting
be.
Getting into it with people.
But here's the thing. I genuinely feel like as a golf community, we need to empower people more. You know, we don't have a lot of pull, but I think we're starting to get just a touch. I feel like you need like a marshal's badge for your hat that like, even though you are playing and you're going, because here's the thing, you are not hesitant to tell someone,
arrest, if you will.
You are not. Yeah. You're exactly. You're not a full fledged ref. You're a linesman.
Yes,
you get in
correct.
There, you mix it up,
yes.
But you are not hesitant to tell people
to speed
in
up.
Your own group
no,
to speed it
correct.
Up. So this isn't like you're just, you know, this isn't me talking about Leafs officiating and my eyes are only looking outward. You reflect and take it upon yourself. If any current active golfer
yes.
deserves a marshal's badge and plus,
thank
how
you.
Sick would that be?
An honorary
look,
badge.
Yeah,
thank
look,
you.
Like you wear it on your hat. Like yes. it's like the stuff all the guys get at the Open Championship
yes.
and stuff. Or maybe we go one further and, you know, like the flag they have on their cart. We just give you one of those to put in your bag
yes.
and it's your 15th club. What do you say?
I am all in on this idea. And listen.
Now we just need to know one person with some pull.
I just want a fast course. Not even fast. Just a normal pace. Just, hey, if you're going to suck, suck quickly. If you're going to play good, play well quickly. I don't care about how you look. I don't care about what you do. But whatever you do, play fast, have fun. And I may or may not have a 9-hole scheduled at Don Valley on Masters Sunday at 8 in the morning. Little 9-hole followed by a little brunch.
Look at you.
So we'll see. Maybe we'll spot open for you, Gunner.
There might be. There might be a guy interested in that. It's
okay.
So funny. Okay, this perfect transition to Masters Week. I feel like every single time. Now, it's not always the whole week. We
yes.
know April in this country is who knows what you're getting. Shake the dice, see what comes
yeah.
out in terms of the weather. But we always get one or two days every single year during the Masters. It's like, look, I know you're excited. It's the Masters.
But doesn't that make you want to play golf? And it's 15 degrees outside. Yes. I think it's supposed to be 15 for Thursday here.
Yes.
Oh, it's going to be so tempting. But
the weather is turning in Ontario. I don't know what it's like other places in Canada, and I don't want to be like, it's still snowing in Alberta. Well, I don't care about that. It's turning here, and we're ready to rock.
That's right. That's right. We are absolutely ready to go. As good of an excuse as any to switch gears now to the Masters. We'll talk about Tiger in just 1 second.
Yes.
But McKee, it's Masters week. I was sitting there all day today. I'm just watching the press conferences.
Same. Had it on my little TV, ready.
John Rahm is throwing shade at Justin Thomas for being the only guy who Tiger lets in. I was watching, Amanda Baleona. She does a great job on the interviews. And look, all of these guys, they put it on a little bit for her at every tour stop. You see them go to Colonial, and they're like, oh, it's so special being here.
Yeah,
and the folks at Texas, you can genuinely see it on their face. It felt like, Webb Simpson, for example. I saw her interviewing him. He looked like he was levitating. He seems genuinely so happy to be there. And it's one thing for us to get giddy because, of course we do. It's Augusta. Mm-hmm. But for guys who get to do it all the time, even for them, it's so special. And that's just why I'm so ready to go.
So we always give Augusta a hard time for their coverage and, when the tour coverage starts, how the network coverage doesn't start till whatever. And there's a million texts of me saying, show golf shots and it's time. Can we just get it going? But I will say that I don't know if it's been in the past 2 years, 3 years, their concerted effort to put out absolutely incredible content leading up until Thursday. They always start I have a TikTok now, and Masters is on TikTok, which is a wild world. But they put out this TikTok, ASMR, is that right?
Even I know that one.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Of it was just a guy watering the course and painting the lines, where the cart pass, painting that. An aerial shot of 12 looking over towards the 13th. It's just like, oh my God, it's here. And I really am impressed with their sort of switch from being this old school thing where it's like there's no access to anything. And I still love that when you go there, you can't take your phone. There's still the little parts of it. But they've done a really great job of transitioning into this sort of content beast. Like, you look at their Twitter, you look at everything. Retweets, likes, their Instagrams, millions of likes, TikTok, everything. So they're doing a really good job of that. Having all said all that, just start coverage at 7 a.m. and go till 7 p.m. because everyone's going to watch it all day long, please. I don't want to have to wait. Tiger's teeing off apparently at 10 a.m. on Thursday morning. Yep. I'm going to have to watch feature group coverage. I understand that. I'll do it. But I would just love the coverage to be like the U.S. Open. So that's my only gripe for now, but they're doing a great job with the content.
Well, and I'll throw a couple of things at you on that. One, what you picked up on there on the TikTok, it's funny. I love to make fun of you for your love of TikTok.
I do love TikTok.
But I was talking about this with somebody who is not a golf person.
Mm-hmm.
It's my wife. That's basically the only non-golf person I talk to at this time of year.
Yes.
And I was saying how it's exactly what you mentioned there. Every time a brand, man, this is not really a golf show conversation, but I think it's really interesting. Every time a brand like the Masters is like, okay, we're going to dip our toe into a water of a place that isn't really for us. TikTok, a perfect example. Even, I know it seems a little silly to think of now, even Instagram, even Twitter, they don't necessarily align themselves with the Masters brand, but they do such a great job of existing in those spaces and being there, but without being like, hey, look, here's an influencer doing a TikTok dance on Amen Corner.
They let it do the talking.
And it's just, they do such an incredible job with the socials.
And the Tiger tweets they've been sending out.
The Tiger tweets are. That video, I think you posted on your Instagram. It's a slow motion of him just kind of drawing it. Yeah.
With the H on the 8.
Yeah. Just beautiful.
So should we talk about it?
Yeah. Well, one other thing on that. In terms of the coverage, yes, please just put it on my television. I will say, I think it was 2 years ago they made the move where you could just go on masters.com and just build your broadcast,
whatever you want.
So I'm going to select all the Canadians.
Same.
I'll have Rory in there. You probably won't. No. I can think of another guy you might pick in that spot. But
we'll get
just,
the picks later, Phil.
We are. And I won't be picking Rory. I love him. I'm not crazy. But in terms of what you get, they've done a great job there. But yes, please, just allow me to watch that on the big TV I have as opposed to this wonderful laptop that I'm that I've got my notes here for. Okay. Tiger.
Buried the lead, I think.
We talked about you being an honorary marshal at Don Valley. And as far as the golf show goes, that's perfectly on brand for us. Tiger.
Yeah.
How much... So this is the interesting Tiger conversation, I think, is how quickly have your expectations changed? Because even going back to, he's at Augusta with Charlie and JT, I'm like, that's interesting. I don't know if it's just actually myself getting to watch him, see him on the putting green, or you see the videos of him during the practice rounds. I don't know if it's hearing it. And look, I know all these guys. I think Tiger believed he could win the Masters as they were airlifting him when he needed to maybe have his leg amputated.
Yeah,
I believe he thought right then he could win. Just give me 6 months. But he really seems to believe. And I know nobody's going to come out and say, oh, Tiger looks terrible. But you hear the way the guys are talking about him. He's hitting some golf shots, man. And I'm not going to get crazy. I'm not sitting here. But I really think there's a chance that this is a very prideful weekend for him, and there's no world where he leaves with the ego bruised.
Okay, I think I'll hear that take, and I'm happy with that, and I would be happy with that to be able to see him hit some sweet shots, hear the Tiger roars, you know, around Augusta. I mean, you saw that video of the Monday practice round. It's just that looks like the Canadian Open on last day. It's like, I'm not taking anything away from the Canadian Open. It's crazy the amount of sort of coverage and interest, and I don't think it's surprising.
Even all the players have said they have to have let more people in.
Honestly, I don't know. Surprising obviously isn't the right word because it's Tiger Woods, but maybe just mind-blowing. Yeah, I don't know that there's that many people following him on a Monday practice round. And JT was talking today. He's like, yeah, they're all out there to see Freddie Couples, of course, like just trying to play it down a little bit. But I, listening to him talk today, seeing how that sort of killer instinct confidence is still intact, how he still has the ability to go out there and hold court and just have that incredible self-belief, which is something that's always been a huge factor with him in terms of just his, like, just think about it on course and off in terms of what he can win any tournament. He can do whatever he wants. I'm cautiously excited, cautiously optimistic. And if he shoots 70 on Thursday, I'll come on the golf show Saturday morning and say that he's going to win the Masters. I really just feel that it's all going to come down to what he looks like on that, on maybe even the first hole, maybe even the second hole. It's not going to take a big sample size for me. The thing to me is that the grind, and we always joke about how everyone's, oh, it's more hilly than you think, right? That's like the big joke about Matt, about the Masters, about Augusta. But it's just going to be such a grind. And even like I said, JT was talking about it today about how tired you are at the end of it. And he's a much younger man. So having your leg almost amputated just over a year later here, coming to play one of the most physically demanding courses in terms of elevation and weird lies or whatever, that's the part that I'm scared of. But I do think that he will make the cut if he plays. I really do. And we're saying that he's going to play. He's going to play. And I think he's going to make the cut. I don't think he's going to go out there and embarrass himself. But having him contend is borderline pipe dream for me.
If miss the cut was a real possibility,
he wouldn't be.
He's
there.
Not doing it.
Yeah.
He's not. Like,
right.
Because here's the thing. There's the part of him that believes no matter what, he can always win. But there's a part of him who knows what it was like when he absolutely could not. And, you know, we all know how in tune with their body these guys are. The other thing that lets me know, and look, I understand he's not going to think he's out of it until he actually proves he's out of it. But exactly what John Rahm said, the fact that he is still so guarded about everything. The only person he tells about anything about these courses to is Charlie and his adopted son, Justin Thomas. Like, it's incredible. And that to me lets me know that he's still in it, that he's still a part of it.
Yeah.
Because of exactly that, because he's not letting other people in. You know, John Rahm is not some ho-hum guy trying to, you know, bend his ear. He won a major recently. If anybody was going to have that little bit of respect for, it'd be a guy like him. But I kind of love that he's holding it all back. I don't know that there will ever be a day where he kind of lets it all go and says, okay, here's the trade secrets. But that lets me know the kind of mindset he's in too.
So the only concern I have with him playing is we always talk about the coverage that Tiger gets and how there's just so many unbelievable golfers on tour right now, Gunnar, and there's so many guys that are playing so well in the top 25 in the world, young, powerful, just exciting. You think of all the names that are just sort of hitting the peak of their powers. I'm a Tiger guy. I love Tiger. Mm-hmm. I just don't want his return to overshadow what would have already been an incredible Masters without him, right?
Yep, totally.
Like, listen, the amount of guys that could potentially win this, I'm looking through the betting odds getting prepared for our show today. It's just a ridiculous name of super duper stars. Like, it's a really amazing sort of time for golf. And, hey, listen, we always joke about he's the needle. He's the needle. We get that part of it. But I don't want him to have a lackluster comeback. And I don't think it'll be lackluster, but you know what I mean?
Yep, no, totally.
And have it take away from some of the great young stars that you're trying to develop into the popularity that Tiger has. So that's my only worry. But I, having said that, I'm still extremely excited.
I think the good thing for, I think the thing kind of working against that, one, is that it's going to be Tiger saturation Thursday, Friday.
Yes.
He's going to be all Tiger all the time. If you look at the...
Which I will love.
So, exactly. He's out in the early morning group. The last three groups of the day are loaded. That's where your JTs are, your Morikawas, mm-hmm. like all of those guys. So it is a clear decision, I think, by the members at Augusta there and the tour to say, okay, let Tiger have the spotlight because you're going to flip it. He's going to be early Thursday. Then it'll be late Friday. That allows you...
Imagine having late Friday on a ticket for Augustus. Anyways,
I know. We can all. I know. I saw our buddy Ben Ennis as we're getting ready for the show, and I'm just sitting there staring daggers at him. Even though he brought me back a lovely hat, I'm like, oh, you got to go. I'm so jealous.
Why can Ira win the lottery?
I know. Enter it every year. Same. One day. All right. You know. But that's the other thing is that because there are. It's not 2 years ago where Victor Hovland's a guy you and I talk about,
yeah.
but he's not somebody CBS wants to talk up, or Colin Morikawa. Like, mm-hmm. these guys have won big, huge tournaments now that they are, you know, even a guy like Zalatoris, who hasn't necessarily done it, he was runner-up at the Masters last year.
Yeah.
It's like, if he's in the mix, he's going to get it. So I think the fact that that kind of group of guys, it felt like 2 or 3 years ago, it was like, okay, DJ gets love, Rory gets love, you know, and then the list beyond that was not real. Sergio was getting love, but it wasn't a long, long list.
Yeah.
You just mentioned it. You know, I just picked 2 or 3 guys, but we can sit here and have the conversation about, you know, 10 or 15 more. The fact that they are kind of names, I think, will kind of play defense on Tiger overshadowing completely everything. But again, we want to be clear. Give us all the Tiger
yes,
at the same
sure.
time. Like, we're talking out of both sides
yeah.
of our mouth.
I basically want to have my cake and eat it too,
yeah, exactly.
here, Gunner. And
you want to be sitting there slathering yourself in Tiger.
Yes.
But then you have the option to say, mix in a little Will Zalatoris for me.
Yeah. And I just don't think there's any way when you look at the stars involved in this and how good the game that it's not going to be a banger leaderboard on mm-hmm. Saturday and Sunday,
exactly.
right? So maybe it's just. Listen, here's what it is. I don't want the Tiger haters in my life to be like, oh, they're showing Tiger too much. You know, like, I have those people in my life that are detractors from Tiger. I won't name names, but they'll be like, oh, my God, why do we got to keep seeing Tiger, blah, blah, blah. So basically that's what I'm guarding against. But, man, we're getting there, and I am really, really, really starting to I can't believe we're sitting here talking about Tiger playing the Masters. And it's just we both said after the crash, thank God for 2019.
Oh.
Thank God 2019 happened, because that gave us our moment as Tiger fans, as like through and through from the start, that we stuck with them through some very dark times, that we put up with the crap from the Tiger haters. I love how we're talking like I am Tiger. I put up with the crap. No, but it's just to have 2019, and we thought that was it. It's over. He's probably going to retire. Maybe he'll play honorary again. But to have it be the next Masters after he crashed, we're talking about him coming back and playing. It's just remarkable, the desire and the willpower to every day working at it. It's mind-blowing. And I guess that's what makes him different.
Yeah.
He's Tiger Woods. That's what makes him Tiger Woods. That's what makes Michael Jordan Michael Jordan. That's what makes LeBron LeBron. They're just built different. That's just, they're different types of dudes. And that's what and probably the fact that he is a kajillionaire and is
yeah.
spending, you know, probably $10 million on his body to make sure he gets back in shape. And that's his right, because he's made all the money.
Oh, my favorite, and this isn't his body, but this is his game. The guy who works now, this is possible that this has changed since, but the story at one point in time was the guy who works on the green complexes he has at his house, he just took from Augusta. He's like, hey, you got anybody poking around that can kind of do my backyard? Because he's got 7 different types of grass back there and different sand and different bunkers, because
yeah.
he always, always, yeah. always has to be ready.
Love it.
Okay, have we exhausted Tiger?
We have.
We're very excited.
I am very excited. That was a measured conversation.
I think it was.
Both sides of it.
We both expect him to make the cut, though.
Correct.
Yes.
And we will talk about that in our betting.
We will. We will. Yeah. I saw it at a plus number.
Yes, sir.
I might want to jump on that because yeah. I don't know if it'll be there anymore. All right. Perfect time to kind of segue here. We do want to, put a bullet point on Tiger. There's one more thing I wanted to mention. He's out at 10:34 in the first round. That's with Louis Oosthuizen. Good, comfortable pair. I'm sure he's played with him a million times there. Poor Joaquim Niemann.
Neiman
in that group. Now, hey, that's a good spot. This guy who's won, he's not quite Hovland or those guys yet, but he's nipping on their heels.
It's an interesting group.
Well, it's to me, I mean, one, it's as international as you could get. American, South African.
Okay,
so
yeah.
You're kind of spreading things around there. Obviously, Tiger eyeballs. And then Neiman, I think, is a guy they're trying to kind of push into that tier. But I have the fear this will do the exact opposite. And
yeah.
I'm not saying he will, but Joakim Neiman, 74 in the first one of the first two rounds is easily incoming here.
And just to go back to our previous conversation, I'm you think about the JT connection and you thought that maybe Tiger, but then it's like, why do you take away from one of the favorites if Tiger's struggling and it's not
well? Then I think it's the other, again, I'll try to, I should have pulled them up ahead of time here. Oh, I have the pairings here. If you look at the last three pairings of the day, so let me just rip the last three off.
Yes, please.
Zalatoris, Cantley, Rahm, Spieth, Hovland, Schauffele.
Mm.
This last group does not start sexy, so forgive me. Kay. Matthew Fitzpatrick.
I don't mind him.
He's far and away,
dork,
far and away the least sexy yes. of the bunch. Somehow he's not doesn't have a clothing sponsor. Hey, Subaru, if you want to reach out. I know you don't make clothes. Wonderful cars, of course. Brooks Koepka, Rory McIlroy.
Yeah, so
they
it's the big bangers.
Loaded the back of that slate, and then, of course, that'll be the start of things on Friday. So I think it's just... You put guys who are respectable with Tiger, mm-hmm. but if Louis Oosthuizen gets overshadowed, it's okay. We'll be fine. All right.
Well, he'll finish in second.
Well, of course he will. He's always will. Make double eagle at two or wherever he goes there. All right. But we thought we were done with Tiger, and as always, he pulls us back in. Okay. Augusta, the Masters. This is the one. I love to do the thing where whenever we're back in a major venue that we haven't been to in a while, St. Mm-hmm. Andrews doesn't quite fall in this because it's one of the other few you actually know. But I love to kind of dig in and find out, okay, what are going to be the holes we talk about? We don't have to do that with this one because we know all the holes, especially on the back nine. So we figured, let's do a little draft here. So, McKee, it was your idea. You're the producer of the golf show. I A-chair it up here, but you're the producer, so why don't you explain how we're going to do this?
So, we're just going to draft our three favorite holes at Augusta, and there must be one front nine hole.
Done.
So, since I'm the producer, I get to start.
I
first
think
pick.
I know where you're going.
Number 12.
Okay.
Number 12.
Shocked, to be perfectly honest.
I know you think I was going to do something else. I won't mention the hole. We can talk about it after. But number 12 is an easy pick here. It's the signature hole at the signature course on planet Earth. So many great moments there. A gorgeous shot. I always love when it gets to be Sunday and they start coming to 12 and it's like clockwork, the announcers, oh, that wind. They're looking around at the other flags and the other holes. They're looking at 11. They're looking at 13. They're trying to figure out what the wind's doing. They can't figure it. It's swirling. It's just such an allure about that hole. Obviously, you think of Spieth. You just think of that water. You think of 2019.
Yeah. I was like, we have to have a Tiger conversation
with both
again
Molinari and Finau crap in their pants. You really think of that. So 12's a signature hole at the signature course on planet Earth. Give me number 12 with the first overall.
I'm shocked because that's what I had number one over.
Yeah, it's not my favorite, but it's the easy number one.
Number
pick.
12, Golden Bell. Yeah, if we could all, I'm not going to throw this upon you now, but it is, if you go outside of Augusta, it might be the golf hole on Earth for many people. All right, I'm going to jump in with, now Golden Bell was number one for me.
There we go.
I'm going to jump in with number 13.
Ah,
yeah, well, okay.
I was gonna get my value pick.
Oh, how dare you? How dare you take one of the most exciting par fives in golf that all the most famous shots have been hidden with, and that I, again, terrible GMing by you.
I thought I was going to sneak it in there.
All you ever do is talk about, I would love to sling it around the corner on 13. Oh, how fun that would be. Yeah, of course I'm going to take it. Now, I want to be so clear about this. I would mangle that hole to no end. Really doesn't work well for me. Although, if you slice, then you get to fade into the green.
Yeah,
so there is a chance. I've thought about this here. Yeah, those are 1-2. So I go 13, Azalea. What do you got?
Yeah,
McKee?
So I think about that shot literally in my dreams. Like before I go to bed, that thought
so our favorite, our one of our favorite locals, Lakeview.
Yeah,
they have the Uber Mini of that hole,
well,
the par 4 version.
They have this at Wooden Sticks.
That's right,
and it's a similar. It's not like nearly as nice, but it's very close to. It's got the leaderboard and everything. So, yeah, good second pick. I thought I was gonna maybe sneak it by.
I can't. This is like not taking Gretzky.
So, where am I gonna go next? I'm gonna do my front nine hole.
Oh, okay.
And I'm gonna go with number 8. The par 5 up the hill. I love that tee shot, first of all, because you always think of the bunkers on the right. And you always think it's such a swing moment for that hole,
mm-hmm.
right? Because if you land in those bunkers, you get stuck in there. That's it's that. Like, and then you got a layup, and then it's still a really hard layup. But you're always hoping if you clear that, then you got that really exciting second shot, that big sling in there, and you can hit it so many different ways. You always think of the guys bailing out to the right into those mounds and having that chip in. It's such an exciting golf hole with so many different things right before the ninth, before the turn. It's kind of your last chance for a while to really score well, because that next stretch, you know, you think 9, 10, 11, boy, that gets really hard and in a hurry. So give me number 8 with my second overall pick.
Okay, I like it. I'll play Jim Nantz here. Number 8, Yellow Jasmine, playing at 570
nice
on the card. Yeah. That's pretty good. I'm no Adam Stanley, who's interviewed the man. But yes, that Yellow Jasmine, cannot go wrong there. In the interest of fairness, because let's be honest, like, we threw a front niner in here because, or sorry, first nine in here because all the best holes are on the second nine. I will take my first nine. A hole here, and this will shock you. It's the other par 5 on the front nine.
Number 2.
I'm going to take 2. It's kind of a mini 13. Big sling around the corner as well. The difference with this is it's got a green that basically looks like the Texas Longhorns logo. It has bunkers on either side of it. It just gives you a lot of different hole locations to kind of force trouble. There's mounds in front of it. It is a bit of an elevated green from if you want to lay up. Just a really really cool hole, so that's the one I'll go with for my front nine pick.
I love that hole, and I mean I love all these holes, but I love that hole, and it's crazy. There's two things that come to mind. Of course, Louis Yu stays with that.
I believe it was that one.
With the
double
albatross,
eagle,
right?
Albatross, yeah.
And this is when it's going to hurt you. But I think of 2018 Masters when Reed won, and it was Rory, and Rory dropped an absolute dart. With, I don't know, whatever, a 3-metal, 5-metal.
Which he does. There's no better dart dropper in the world
with
3-metal. And he
had a bunny for eagle. And he missed it. And I think Reed even was in the bunker. He got it up and down for birdie, and it was kind of like a swing moment in the tourney, and it never went back from there. I just remember that specific moment where Rory... Anyways, we don't need to get into
it.
What I'm talking about.
Look, I know exactly
what
you're talking about. I really appreciate you not going to the most famous one of him hanging out by Butler Cabin to twist the knife. I'm sure that'll come up a little later on in the
Faraday
show.
I'm not sure I've ever seen a ball over there.
And that's exactly what happened there. So there we go. We both did the quasi golf hipster thing, took a front nine hole back to the back nine.
I would argue that this is the hardest pick right here
because
this is like you get to decide after you get the decision after I make this hole because there's three holes that I'm considering.
I have 4 holes written down, but I'm with you on 3.
And I don't think I'm going to go with 2 par 5s because I think you should have a 3, a 5, and a 4. And I'm going to go with Holly, number 18. Because you think about all the great moments. It's the finishing hole at Augusta. You think of just that tree line on the right where you think, like, they show the shot trace. You're like, oh, that's perfect. Yeah. And then it, like, settles into
the pine straws.
Or you just, it's such an incredibly demanding finishing hole. And, you know, I don't know, I just never thought of it as that demanding, but it just really, those bunkers on the left are death. A lot of guys lay up, but then it's a somewhat forgiving green in terms of it's big. They put it in the bottom right on Sunday, so you got that little backdrop, and it's always that exciting shot. I think of Sergio with that putt to win that he just, like, alligator-armed, and then his buddy took a dive for him on the playoff holes. Yeah, took a dive for him on the playoff holes so that he could two-putt to win it, but... I love 18. I love all the moments there. I think of Tiger, obviously, in 2019, having to scramble for a bogey, which got a little squirrely there. But yeah, I love 18 there, and it's an easy one for me because now I got a 3, 5, and a 4.
So it's a perfect finishing hole, especially at a tournament like that where there's so much chaos going on leading up to it. It's like 13 and 12 and 15 and 16's there. And it's a very straightforward down-the-line hole. I don't know that I've ever seen a guy who's won the tournament hit it in the fairway on 18. You look at it, it's one of the most, for a course that has all these other famous images or famous pictures in your mind, of course, 12, the most beautiful golf hole in the world.
Yeah.
Maybe the most famous image in golf is looking down that chute
at
18.
That 4-foot chute.
Yeah, it looks a foot wide, and you got to figure it out when you're trying to win the most prestigious major. If this is 4... It's a golf hole, and it is what it is, but because you nailed it. So, honestly, wasn't on my radar. Good job by
Thank you,
McKee.
Thank you.
All right. I'm going to go with a par 3 here. I will be going with 16.
Great.
Red Bud.
That's a great pick. I can't believe you got that with the final pick.
I'm shocked.
It's an amazing hole. Go ahead.
So the it's twofold for me. Obviously, look, I am doing this with the assumption that you have the Sunday pin. I would argue there is no hole that is hurt more by not thinking of it as the Sunday pin. If the pin's literally anywhere else, it's par three over water, and I'd be taking 15, I'd be taking 10, I'd be taking an 11. But because if you have it in that funnel spot in the moment, guys are always trying to fit it in there because you have to. You end up in that bunker. Well, I'm talking to you, Xander Schauffele. You end up in the water, maybe even worse.
I didn't even know there was water on that hole. Yeah. He's the first guy to ever put it in.
Yeah, it's like they all skip across the pond, but somehow he's the first guy to ever put it in. Then you throw in the fact that it has most famous shot in Masters, if not golf history there. Tiger's chip. Shout out Chris DeMarco. And then just because it's me, I can literally play it because I'm a, fading when it's good, slicing when it's bad, and a righty. I can literally aim at the spot Tiger had to hit that chip from. Worst case scenario, I hit it straight and I have the Tiger chip if I'm ever lucky enough to play Augusta. And if not, we just fade that thing right into the bowl. Are we looking at a hole in one? I can dream, McKee. Yeah. So it's the mixture of the moments, but I have to throw in the caveat that if I don't get to pick pin placement, I'm not picking this hole.
One of the worst things ever done at the Masters was when Dustin Johnson won in 2020 at the weird pandemic
Masters. I was in the hospital having Gordle. My baby. Yeah, that's right.
I was going to say, wow. First time for anything. First time for everything. They put it in the middle of the green.
People were ready to riot.
But I guess they're sort of... your rationale is that there's no fans there.
Yep.
It's not as, an exciting moment, and you're trying to maybe try something new.
Yep.
But maybe don't try something new on Sunday at Augusta. Just put it in the spot.
Well, 1,000%. I remember this was a few Masters ago, and it's just one of those things that just kind of sticks in your brain. Something happened to a hole, and they had to recut it, like early on in the round. And I remember they just kept showing it on the broadcast. And I was like, this is enthralling. I love it. Could you imagine the reaction on the broadcast if just halfway through Sunday they were like, all right, our bad.
We got
to back to the
this.
Funnel pin. We got to put it down there. Like that's all I could think of. There is
and
never
you just think of Vern. Oh my.
Vern, man. Is there anybody who has a better gig in the world than just sitting on 16 on Masters Sunday or
just
Saturday
going, oh
only?
My God.
My heavens. And then of course it's like we think back to Tiger in 2019. It's like for all the moments Tiger's had, almost made the ace there, and Michael Phelps is staring it down with him over his shoulder. Yep. It's just, man, 2019 is going to always be, like, we're going to be doing Masters previews forever. It's always going to come back to 2019, it feels like.
It's funny. I think of, I forget where I heard the story, but Joe LaCava was talking about that.
Okay.
And, Tiger, after he hits that unbelievable shot on 16 in 2019, puts it to what, 4 feet?
If that.
And he comes up to him, he's like, what is this, cup outside, right? He says to Joe, and Joe's like, what are you talking about? just basically, why are you asking me this? You're like, you have played this all a trillion, I just love that. I forget exactly what he said, but he was just like flabbergasted that he was asking him the question about 16.
That's awesome.
Just quickly before we move on, I watched the long version of the Chris DeMarco 2005.
Oh, okay.
Somebody tweeted it out.
I know what you're talking about, yep.
And just the sort of gravity of that moment. And during the pandemic, when it got canceled, one of the great things about that was them playing all the historic rounds.
The Tiger rewatch.
And they had the Weir one. Mm-hmm. They had when Nicklaus won. They had all the different things that...
Quick aside. How cool is it for us to experience the Nicklaus one?
It was amazing. I wish they would do that every year.
We're going to do the Leafs game tonight, but if we weren't, why couldn't I just go home and watch that to get me jacked up?
So I watched him sort of how much time he took and the spots that he looked at, and you just remember the shot, obviously, and it's one of the greatest shots, if not the greatest shot in golf history, but
how
hard he read it. And how much he knew exactly what he was trying to do and the time he took. It's a 2-minute and 20-second video. How long does the shot take?
Yeah.
It was 2 minutes of him just pouring over the lines
stalking
and everything.
Yeah.
And he nailed it. And it's just, I don't need to break down that, but it was incredible. And I loved watching that again. So good pick with your last one overall.
I know exactly what you're talking about, though. I've seen, we've all seen the clip of him doing it, but it's just him walking through, pointing at little shadow marks here, looking at stuff from different angles. And then for as much precision as there was in the shot, the Yao Ming-esque high five for Stevie afterwards. Just an all-time butcher job there.
I don't even think of that. Because
I just watched this today and I saw it and I always forget that it happened.
Well, you try to nail a high five in that moment. You know, that moment, think about, we watched the turn and rewatched it and you just think of the swings and how much they're back and forth. It's one stroke lead. It's this impossible chip. Like the moment leading up to that, all those people cheering. No way you and I are nailing a high five.
No.
It's going to be like a weird handshake thing. Like you guarantee it.
Well, I think let's be honest, not that either of us are winning the Masters or playing Augusta for that matter anytime soon. But if something like that happens, I feel like it's just immediate bear hug in each other's arms.
Yes.
And so we would do 1% better.
All right.
I just wanted to throw, I have to give a little love to 15.
Yes.
The other par five on
honorable
the back
mention.
Nine. I was watching, it's funny, you and I were doing the golf show. Oh, perfect. I meant to talk to you about this, but didn't know where to kind of fit it in. You and I were doing the golf show last week, and we just had the conversation about those Augusta ghosts and how they'll get you. So I'm watching the women's amateur event that they have there. A girl has a two-shot lead on 15.
Where this is going.
She lays up, and the layup area is a severe downslope. And I can't remember the exact particulars of it. Stone from LSU, and it's just... I believe it was double bogey, bogey to finish, and that was the end of it. But it's just that right there.
That poor woman will never sleep again.
No, of course. I mean, hopefully for her, she gets another crack at it at the amateur level, but it's just, can you imagine having that moment taken away from you? But all I could think of is there's nowhere to hit that shot. You hit a drive, and you are going in. You know, Spieth was talking about this today. Even us, we're going in. If there's any wind in our face, we're going in with a medal of some kind, or you get to lay up to a horrific angled pitch. Yeah. Like, it's just, there's no easy decisions there. And our boy Hideki almost lost it on that one last year.
So there's three things I think of. And I think it was a 2011 clip, the one, the Tiger famous one, where he hits it, club spin, and he's just walking down the fairway with it. And you often see it like paired up with like a Thug Life song or whatever. And I also think when Sergio won the Masters, that he hit that high, like he brought his shoulders way up. He hit that high, spectacular shot that banged off the pin, remember?
Then he
made the eagle putt to give himself, I think it was a two-stroke lead or a stroke lead.
I feel so dirty.
I know. And guess,
after that,
I cheered.
Yeah, I was cheering so hard.
It's sickening.
Well,
it's
okay, in our defense, it's like, it's Sergio or Justin Rose. Like, that's the only other thing
but
we have.
I'll never forgive myself for how hard I rooted for Sergio that day.
Yeah, agreed. We're not going to do it. I'm sitting here and I have my list. I'm like, oh, should I shout out White Dogwood? And they're all the best, okay? I will say, change to 11. The guys were really talking about it. That's lengthened and it's pushed back a little bit.
That's what 11 needed.
Yeah.
Be harder.
That's exactly.
Good Lord.
Here's the thing. It's like, the thing about Augusta is it's like, you know where you're going to lose your shots in the back nine. You know where you're going to make them up.
Yeah.
It's like, you have a chance to make it up on 13.
Make a par on 11 and you're going to win, basically.
Exactly. So. I cannot wait. Cannot wait. Yeah. Love doing our Masters hole draft. We even threw in a little hipsterish there.
Yeah.
The fact that neither of us took one of the par fives in the back nine, I think checks us off officially as
there
golf hipsters.
Love
it. All right. Good breakdown of the holes there. Got to get to some betting here.
Mm.
I don't know if you guys have heard. Gambling, very hot in Ontario these days. Yeah, I've heard. I've heard do tell that people like gambling and love hearing about it.
Hadn't heard a thing about it.
No, not one thing. There haven't been copious commercials. And hey, look, we're happy to do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I can only imagine, you know, listening or going back to myself when I'm 15 years old and I'm like, setting up my parlays for Proline. It's like, just imagine what the world is like today. Oh, man, 15-year-old guns. You'd love it. You'd be poor, but you would love it. All right, so our favorite bets. I don't know how you want to do this. If you got any you want to start with.
Want to go back and forth?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
So if Tiger's playing this thing, I think he's going to play well.
Mm-hmm.
And this may be a little bit ambitious, but a top 10 finish for Tiger plays plus 425. So 4 point, so 4-1, just over 4-1, basically. So it's
That's a little better number than I was expecting, just given how public he is.
Yeah, so I like that for my first one.
Okay. We both talked about it. Whatever number, if it's plus still, again, highly doubt it by the time you hear this. But if there's a plus number out there for Tiger to make the cut, jump on that.
Yes.
I like that very much. And then, hey, maybe parlay that with something. If you're feeling very, like, that can be your kind of standard bearer if you're feeling good about it. I'll throw a top 10 at you. Threw this out on the golf show, but I saw a picture of him today that made me feel even more certain about my choice. Abraham Answer.
Oh, the duster.
He's
mania.
Got the Austin Matthews mustache going. There's a picture of him just looking confident out there. This guy who's had a couple of top 20s already in his career. Top 10 pays you 425 for the top 10, and then it's a 535. You get him at plus or for a top five finish there. So depending on how confident you are with Answer, top five or top 10, I like that there, and he's somebody a little further down the odd sheet for you.
You might be the most confident in Abe Answer, I think.
Hey, oh, well, no, that's not true. His wonderful caddy on Instagram who hawks hot dog merch. He's the only guy more
we're getting him on the
me.
Golf show.
Yeah,
this year. All right, my next one here is, this is on a sports book, so I'm not going to name the book, but
take this with a grain of salt. One, numbers are changing as bets go in, and two, they're shop around. If you find a bet you like, shop around the books, see what's out there.
This is a bit of a wild one
until someone pays us, and then we will absolutely give you that book's numbers.
Lead after first round and win for Dustin Johnson.
Did you get this?
Yes.
I got this on the same site, and I loved this bet.
100-1.
Yeah.
So it is a incredibly outlandish bet because going wire to wire, basically. I mean, sure, you could drop down after the day, go back in.
Yep.
But that is a huge sort of – that's a tough one. It's the reason it's 100-1.
Yeah.
But at the same time – Dustin Johnson is an extremely good golfer who could very much be leading after the first round and could also win the Masters. So for 100-1, it seems like an incredibly good bet to me.
Yeah.
You throw $10 on that?
Yeah.
Like, it's a really good-looking bet.
I jumped all over that when I saw it, too. For shame on both of us for not texting each other about that before we recorded here. We're both just so excited. So I will I'll throw another guy. We talked about him a little earlier on. Xander Schauffele. He is not going to win the Masters. Let me tell you that right now before you jump down my throat and tell me, oh, Schauffele never gets it done. I know. He's going to finish in the top 10. I am borderline certain on that. Now, that pays 250. This is an elite guy. Top five gives you 450.
Okay.
And I am confident that Schauffele is going to be in the mix. Maybe it's a backdoor top five. Maybe he's leading the thing and stubs his toe late. I firmly believe of all of the guys, that's maybe outside of one or two, that's maybe the guy I'm most confident in for sure being in the mix.
Okay, like that. First round leader, my annual bet, Corey Connors.
Yes.
Every year I bet this. I think was he leading once after on Thursday? Like, I for some reason, it feels like he's always there.
It's funny. I was producing a Hockey Central noon show, and Mark Savard came flying in saying, we got Todd Connors. He's leading the Masters. So, yes, it did happen for a fleeting moment on a Thursday.
But 45-1 for a guy that strikes the ball well and plays really well, maybe not under the most amount of pressure at this point. The putting can still be there on Thursday. The pressure isn't as much on a Thursday. I love that at 45-1. You're getting one of the best ball strikers in the world at a really good number for the first round.
Yeah, I'd also say that he played too well. Normally, he's a go-to for top Canadian, but given the form of
Hughes, -500,
that's the problem.
Yeah.
Given the form of Hughes and Weir there, it just doesn't. And I did for half a second think about the all Canadians to make the cut bet, and then I went and saw Mike Weir's recent Masters history. And hey, love you, Brights Grove legend. Can't tie any dollars to you.
I would agree with that. That's good choice by
you. Yeah, I know. I really, just genius stuff by me. All right, a few outrights I like. These are not my official pick to win.
Okay.
This is more tied to value.
I'll give you my outrights after you're done.
Okay, so I got three here for you, not including my pick to win because I don't love the number for my pick to win. Will Zalatoris, plus 4,000.
Okay.
This is a guy who you heard.
So 40-1.
Yeah, he was a runner-up the last time the Masters was played. The only thing we know about him, other than he is rail thin, he's a great ball striker, is he can't putt. But, oh, wait a minute. He can kind of sort of putt right now. I know putting at Augusta is a completely different
animal. Sure, he could do it last year.
But he did it last year. He's only gotten better since. if he could do that in his first go around, I suppose there's some world where he realizes what's happening this time and is not able to kind of replicate it. But I really like him at that number.
I really hope his putting stroke looks better so I don't have to change the channel when he comes up putting, because I don't want to live vicariously through that stroke.
I forget who said it. Somebody said it looked like he signed his name with that backstroke, and that's as good of a line.
It ain't pretty.
Yeah, good of a line as you get. Koepka, 20-1.
Love
of
it.
The bigger horses, that's probably
good
the
number.
Guy I kind of feel comfortable about, because a number there always shows up in majors. Has had some decent results this year. We know he can do it there. Remember, he was the one peeking down at Tiger as he almost made the hole in one at 16 when Tiger won. So I like Koepka a lot there. And then, you know what? I was going to give my third, but you gave him on the golf show, so I won't give our Australian friend as an outright unless you're going to include him, which I imagine you will.
My big bets for my my most unit bets will be on Cam Smith at 16-1. I just love the putting.
I'm at 17. For
I love the putting. I love the short game. The driving, that leaves a little bit to be desired. Mm-hmm. The longer game, if you will, leaves a little bit to be desired. But what's the number one thing around there? Short game. He's got the imagination. He's got the putter. He's got the temper. He won winning the Players is the biggest non-major, right? It gives me that little bit of pedigree to think that he can maybe, and he's been really good at the Masters.
Four
top fives,
in the 60s in the fake one.
Yeah, top fives, top tens. Like, he's always been around. So I
and
like
the Aussies do well there too.
I like Cam Smith. And I want to root for Cam Smith.
Yeah, no, that was the guy I had there. But you gave him on the golf show, so I didn't want to steal your thunder from down under.
I love that. And my other big unit bet will be on Scottie Scheffler, the steel jaw and the iron stomach. Was that it, or was it
steel
the other
jaw,
one?
Square jaw, steel stomach.
Yes, great stuff. So I will be. I love him as a player. Want to root for him again, so it's a bit of a heart bet, but he's also in great form. You know, it's a big chance for him to kind of stamp his dominance on this start of the season. And I've heard him interviewed a couple of times recently, just like his attitude, like his demeanor. Seems like he's not taking, I don't know, he's kind of got what it takes to win there. He's got a good attitude. So give me some Scottie Scheffler at 16-1.
I like that. I'm not. It's funny. Heading into the week, my big concern with Scheffler was, and I know it's weird getting it done at the match play, but it's like he just climbed the mountaintop. The guy didn't win a tournament. He became world number one.
Mm-hmm.
That
what better way to celebrate?
Well, and not that anybody goes into the Masters resting on their short of the former champions who are there to have a fun time. Sandy Lyle, shout out. Nobody goes there to kick their feet up. He's going there to win a tournament. And I had some concern about that. Oh, wow, I did it, and I'm at the Masters. And I'm watching all the interviews with him. He's on the set with the Golf Channel guys. He's locked in. He's focused. And it's the demeanor that makes me believe. He was somebody I was kind of going away from just because I thought the moment might be a bit big. But
he knows he can do it.
I'm with you there. He absolutely can do it. All right. I have my – do we want to do official picks to win, or do you have some more
you
want to throw at us?
I have a few sprinkles.
Yeah, please.
Get a sprinkle on JT because he just want to be in on the fun.
Yep.
I'm not going to do a big bet on him, but 12-1 is not the best value. So I want to just go with a smaller bet on him. But I want to have a little bit of Justin Thomas on the weekend at the Masters.
Love it.
Love Corey Connors at 50-1. You know, it's a good Canadian bet.
Yes.
It's just, the guy's a sick ball striker. If the putting comes together for 4 days, guy could easily win the Masters. So give me some Corey Connors at 50-1. This one, you're going to roll your eyes out of your head, but Bryson at 50-1 is too enticing for me.
No.
He was the favorite going into last year, 10-1. The value's great, and I would have to be a real dick not to put something on Tiger at 55-1.
Okay, there we go. I love it. I love it. I love it. Just double checking the bets because I made a whole bunch this morning. Just making sure I gave them all out here as well. Yeah, we got Shoffley. We got Answer. Cam Smith. Corey Connors. Will Zalatoris. And of course, yes, some Tiger Woods love.
Maybe a little Paul Casey top 10 too. Ooh. Always floating around.
Did Ian Leggett enter the room? This is his favorite guy at every major.
Not the biggest fan of our boy, but he's kind of seems like a bit of a pompous dork. I don't know. There's something about him I don't love, but. He's always floating around at the Masters. So a top 10 but pays plus 425 may not be the worst bet. That's my last one.
Love it, love it, love it. All right, official picks, is it time?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll start. You threw in as in on the fun, so he's my official pick. I will also be sprinkling in on the fun. It's time. Justin Thomas winning the green jacket. Tiger's sitting there. He showed up. It's business time, and guess what? The only guy he lets in is JT. It's not just about the secrets of... Oh, you want to chip it here. Look, Justin Thomas played a million times. It's It's the fact that he's letting him in to the other stuff, just seeing how he goes about his business, seeing how he takes it all in. It's something that Tiger Woods can't tell him. Justin, this is how I think. But you just spend enough time with someone and you start to understand how they operate. The other thing that I think is really different for him this time, he has a caddy on his bag who's won the Masters before. Bones. And guess what? Bones isn't going to have to talk about a hitting driver on every single hole. The other thing I love about Thomas, he has every shot. What do you want? You want to sling it high? You want to sling it low? You want to bend it the other way high? You want to bend it the other way low? Doesn't matter. You want to hit it straight as an arrow? He's got it. Chips, cuts, punch, whatever he needs to do, he can do it. So that's the guy I'm riding on this week. I got a big, big feeling about Justin Thomas.
I think you're going to say, I have a big, big bet on Justin Thomas.
No, not at that number.
Yeah, it's so hard to bet the favorites.
You can't. Like, I love Rahm, too. Like, that's another guy, but it's like, not at that number. Not
so,
touching him.
I'm going to be the real square here, and I'm going to pick the betting favorite.
You're going to pick John Rahm.
I am going to pick John Rahm. And I think there's
a shot to Justin Thomas for getting all the advice.
No, it's just, and I just hate, like, last year I picked Bryson, who was the betting favorite. This year I'm going to pick John Rahm, who's the betting favorite. And hopefully I don't put the Bryson stink on him with that one. But this guy's just too good, and it's time, right? Like, it's a similar thing with JT. It's time.
He just did it.
All the great guys win the majors, they win the Masters, and John Rahm is this generation, a great one, and it's time for him to do it. He's always sort of flirted around with it. I think I remember the Saturday where he kind of melted down a couple years ago, but he's always around. He hasn't been in form. Maybe a little I was going to say people off the trail a little bit, but he's the betting favorite, so it's tough to say that. I love John Rahm. I'm going with him as my pick to win the Masters.
Would love to see it. Quite frankly, it's a guy. You know, it's a guy I definitely pull for. I love his demeanor, and you know, he's a little different. Like he is a little less buttoned up than these guys. And you know, it'd just be kind of fun to see him get it done. He's got the pedigree. He's got it off his back.
Yeah.
He won the U.S. Open, of course. Seve with the great lineage there. I'd love to see what kind of champions dinner he'd be cooking up.
Oh,
too.
Can we quickly talk about?
Yeah, of course. That's
Hideki's?
Why I segued it. Yeah, I'm a professional broadcaster here.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, so we got. The first things first, the menu, it's exactly what we all expected.
I'm just pulling it up right
it's
here.
It's tremendous surf and turf. There's Wagyu beef. There's miso black cod. But the best part of this was a Japanese reporter asking Dustin Johnson about it, and they read the menu to him. And you should have seen his face. It was like, can we go right now? Why do I have to? It's tonight. Why do I have to wait until 9 o'clock? Can I get? It was almost like when you're a kid and it's like Thanksgiving dinner at your house. And you're like, oh mom, can I just pick a little? No, it's for company. And it's like that's how Dustin Johnson looked having the menu read to him. Got it in front of you.
I got Jordan Spieth.
Oh, okay.
Did you hear his response?
No, I did not.
This is from Dylan DeChair on Twitter. Said, "What did you think about the menu, and which item are you most excited for? I mean." I'm going to have seconds of all of it. I'm very excited. I played the Dunlop Phoenix Open in Mizaki back in 2014. It might make a lot of people mad in the states of Texas, but this is the best beef I've ever had.
Oh.
To be serving that tonight on top of miso cod and sushi to start, I'm very, very excited. I saw it today. I had no idea what route he was going to go, and I'm excited to shake his hand and say thank you at the end of the night. I may have to get carted out. So the boys are fired up.
That's amazing. And not only is he from Texas, he's a Texas Longhorn, like the University of Cows. Like,
the
it's
bird
incredible.
Orange, hook 'em, baby.
So here we go. Appetizers, assorted sushi, sashimi and nigiri, yakitori chicken skewers. Then you got a miso glazed black cod in a type of broth there. Mizaki Wagyu, as mentioned. You love a Wagyu, I would imagine.
Oh, baby, never had it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's a reason why we haven't had it, because it's so good, and they're going to serve it at the Masters. and then a Japanese strawberry shortcake to finish things
Delightful.
Off there.
No sounds, way, that's sounds, bad.
No notes. No notes for you. I will say the boys probably, and no shots here, because I love what Mike Weir did. Probably a little more excited for this than they were for, like, charred elk or whatever it was. Or no, sorry, Arctic char and elk. It was both for Weirzy. So, yes, surf and turf. You know what? Honestly, and I swear not everything has to lead back to Tiger. That's all I could think of. It's very similar to Tiger's first. Now, the only difference is he did, like, chicken fajitas with his sushi because, you know, he was 19 years old. So I love Hideki classing it up.
All right. Let's go, Gunner.
Yeah.
It's time.
Oh. All right, thank you for listening. Golf Show, as always, want to thank you for taking part, listening to us here. We'll be back Saturday, you know, recapping, getting you set for a rollicking Masters weekend. Sammy, I cannot wait. Thanks so much, and thanks for you listening. It's been the Golf Show. It's 14.